Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're broadcasting live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. Here in the second hour, Pastor Will Whedon joins us. We usually do our hymn studies in the studio. We have all our equipment snugly around us. Well, our equipment is quite distant, probably a good 40 miles away. But with the help of our intrepid board operator back in our studio in St. Louis, we're going to be doing a stanza-by-stanza study of the hymn Joy to the Heart. Now, don't feel bad if you've never heard of this hymn. But after you've heard it and after this study, you will never forget this hymn. It is something, you come across every once in a while something that you didn't know was there, and after you're done looking at it, you wonder how you could have lived without it. Well, this hymn, Joy to the Heart, this Easter hymn, is one of those things. We're going to be talking about it during the second hour of Issues, Etc. today, broadcasting live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. Pastor Will Whedon, our guest, and I would love to meet you if you come out here to 612 North State Street in Freeburg. Two more hours of our live broadcast here from Christ Our Savior. In the third hour of the program, a roundtable of pastors from the Illinois area. We're going to be talking about the gospel. Pastor Bruce Kaseman, he is pastor of Christ Our Savior here in Freeburg. He's our host pastor. Pastor Fred Bowie, who's a regular guest on the program, and Pastor Stuart Rethwisch and Brian Holly will join us in the last hour for our roundtable on the gospel here on Issues, Etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers during this hour as we study the hymn Joy to the Heart with Pastor Will Whedon will receive our 10-part series. I can't believe we actually did 10 parts in this series, but we did. Our 10-part series on the historic liturgy with Pastor Will Whedon. That'll go to our best caller during this hour as we talk about this hymn. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest, and he is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you.
It's good to sit across from you and actually see you in a different circumstance than our dimly lit, fluorescently lit Studio A. You look better in natural light.
Oh, thank you.
Now, we're going to be hearing this hymn stanza by stanza, and everyone who's heard it has had the same reaction. Wow, this is an amazing hymn.
Yeah.
But they also say, where did this come from? I've never heard of this before. Where did you come across this hymn, Joy to the Heart?
Well, you know, it was brought to St. Paul's by our choir director, Robert Esch. And I believe that they had performed it a number of times when he was a member of Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville. And so he just, one of the blessings he brought along with him was this text. And the first time, I remember the first time I heard it, I had the same reaction. I'm like, where has this been all my life? I love this song.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, the first time you hear it, you fall in love with it. So, yeah, he brought it to us.
Now, I understand that this is a hymn that you use at St. Paul in Hamel as a cross procession hymn. Is that correct?
It's the entrance hymn we use on Easter.
Okay, why is that? Beyond the fact that it's an Easter hymn.
Well, the words are so beautiful for this. I mean, the way the hymn is set up, there's three stanzas that the choir sings. And then the last stanza, the congregation itself joins in on. And the last stanza is a repetition of the first stanza. And the words there say, look, there, the Christ, our brother, comes. And, you know, that says the cross is going down the aisle with the gospel book held up. And it's like, there, you know, he is coming. The living one is coming among us in his words now. And, of course, he will come among us in the sacrament, too. So, beautiful, beautiful hymn.
Okay, now, we've said Easter hymn several times here. And as someone begins to look at the words of this hymn, Joy to the Heart, they're going to say, wow, this has an awful lot of crucifixion in it.
Oh, yeah.
For an Easter hymn. And aren't we supposed to leave the crucifixion kind of behind for Easter?
Shoot, no.
Behind for the Easter season?
No way. No way. Then we'd have happiness instead of joy. The joy that flows through the Easter season is the joy that it's the crucified one who has been raised to life, the one who has known sorrow, who has known death, who has known pain. He has conquered and overcome. And so the cross is very much in the background of the song. Well, actually not even the background. It's part, well, we might even just call the whole hymn as Paschal. It's the Passover of Christ from death into life eternal.
So the cross and the resurrection as one
thing. One thing, right. Not two things, one.
The refrain, we will hear it many times. The term joy, you already mentioned it. What's the difference between the joy that this hymn is talking about and contentment, Happiness is one of the phrases that we like to use nowadays, especially in America, where one of our things is the pursuit of happiness. What's the difference between that and joy?
Well, happiness is something that we tend to think of as very dependent upon circumstance. You know, when things are going well, then you can be happy. Whereas joy is something that you can have filling and overflowing your heart, even when your eyes are overflowing with tears and your heart is breaking, you can still have joy. In fact, you know, I think of the words of the psalmist, you know, about sorrow turned to joy. And that is exactly the connection between the two.
Tell us about the hymn itself, its author, its occasion. What do we know about it?
Well, you know, this is really, I had to do a little research to find this stuff out, because this guy, the man who wrote this hymn, is named John Frederick Bennett. And he was an English professor at St. Norbert College, which I'd never heard of before, in Pella, Wisconsin, which I've never heard of before. I am assuming it's a Roman Catholic college. I'm assuming the man was himself a Roman Catholic, but I don't know. The hymn first appeared in 1980 in a very limited edition of the man's poems. 500 copies were made. The name of the volume was Fire in the Dust. But what made it sort of get on the map was when the Episcopal Church included it in the hymnal 1982, their official hymnal. And in fact, they included it with two settings, which means they liked the song so much they wanted to offer a variety of musical accompaniments for it. The tune to which we're going to hear is not either of the ones included in the Episcopal hymnal, but it's one written by Kaylee Scott, very, very famous contemporary composer, has written some really fabulous music. And it's actually published by CPH. I think Kaylee Scott wrote it for a Wisconsin Synod Luther Music Festival.
So why are we unfamiliar with this hymn? I mean, beyond the fact that it's of recent authorship, why isn't it in hymnals?
You know, it's not even going to be in the Lutheran service book.
That's a shame.
That's a shame. It's really a shame. I don't know why it didn't make the cut. You know, maybe no one suggested it. I'm not sure. When they were asking for suggestions for the hymnal, you know, hymns you wanted in there, I didn't know this hymn then. So I didn't suggest it.
And it's too late now.
It's too late now.
I have to wait another generation.
Another generation. But you know what? This hymn is going to be around in another generation, because this hymn is not going to go away.
Why is that?
It's just the quality is so great. I mean, not only the words are fabulous poetry, very simple, easy to understand, but powerful poetry. And at the same time, the music that Kaylee Scott wrote for it is outstanding. Once you hear it, it sticks. You don't have to think about it.
But it's a fully contemporary hymn in the sense that when you hear it, you realize this is an old style hymnody.
No. Mm-mm.
And this is a melody that, while at first you say, that's interesting, it does stay with you.
Right, right.
Talk a bit about that before we get into this hymn, and we will get in just a second. The fact that so much is made nowadays of getting the church's music to be more contemporary, when often, under the guise of doing that, we ignore the genuinely contemporary quality church music.
Yeah, a lot of times the music that's called, you know, contemporary Christian music, I mean, those are hymns that have been around for 40 or 50 years, the tunes. And most of them were trite to begin with, and you know what I mean by trite? I mean, you sing it once, and that's, you may like it. You sing it 10 times, and you're sick of it, and you never, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm probably going to get nasty calls from this, but you know that wretched little praise chorus, "This is the day the Lord has made." If I hear it one more time, I think I'm going to go insane. I just hate that piece. Did the kids sing that on Sunday? I think I heard that. Yeah, oh, Lord have mercy. Not at my church. So it's just a wretched, you know, little tune, because there's nothing there. One time you hear it, you think, oh, isn't that kind of cute? The second or third time, you're like, I don't need to hear this again the rest of my life. When you hear Joy to the Heart, you're listening to the kind of music that when you hear it once, you're going to say, play that again. Let me hear that again. And the more you hear it, the more you love it.
Well, let's give our listeners a chance to see what we're talking about. We're going to be studying the hymn Joy to the Heart with Pastor Will Wheaton during this hour, stanza by stanza. And then we're going to do three stanzas, and then we will hear the three plus a fourth, which is a repeat of the first, in the entire hymn at the end of our program today. The first stanza of the Easter hymn, Joy to the heart along with its refrain, "Look there, the Christ, our brother comes resplendent from the gallows tree, and what he brings in his hurt hands is life on life for you and me. Joy, joy, joy to the heart all in this good day's dawning. Joy, joy, joy to the heart all in this good day's dawning." Of the hymn we're studying during this hour, broadcasting live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. The hymn is called Joy to the Heart, our guest pastor, Will Whedon. All right. You know, I heard this first stanza and it had me hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing it does is tell everyone to look at Christ.
You bet.
But it says so much more than that. What does it say?
Well, number one, it says, "Look there, the Christ, our brother." And right away, when you set that in any kind of a Paschal of an Easter context, it calls to mind the story in John 20 where Mary is weeping outside the tomb. And she's just broken up because she doesn't know where the body of her Lord is. And, you know, she stoops and looks in the tomb and there are angels there. And she's so broken up, she doesn't even freak out over angels sitting in the tomb. All she knows is, "Where's Christ? Where's my Lord?" And then Jesus himself appears to her and says, "Mary," and calls her by name. And remember, when he calls her name, she goes and tackles him, got a hold of him. "I'm never going to let you go again. I got you, Jesus. It's going to be the way it was." And, you know, he wiggles out of her hold and is like, he's going to be much more Jesus for her than just what she was imagining from before. And he gives her an embassy, a message. If he makes her, in fact, this is where the church gives Mary Magdalene the title, the apostle to the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
He gives her the embassy of going to his disciples and telling them, I am ascending to my God and your God, to my Father and to your Father." And for him to speak that way is for him to proclaim himself at the deepest, the greatest level you could imagine. He is, in every sense, our brother. And by him being our brother, he has truly, through his Pascha, through his passage from death to life, he has made his Father be our Father. He's brought us in there. And it's important that it says, "Look there, the Christ, our brother, comes." Because as he came down from heaven in the incarnation, so he continues to come to us. It's not a matter of us coming to him. He is coming to us. And especially as this hymn is sung in a divine service, we know he's getting ready to come to us through his words. He's getting ready to come to us through the preaching of his gospel. And most of all, he's getting ready to come to us with his own body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. What he brings in is her hands, hands.
Before you go
there. Go ahead. Sure.
Resplendent from the gallows tree. Now, beyond being a brilliant piece of poetry,
yeah,
you talk about the cross as the gallows tree.
Yeah.
This notion of him coming resplendent from the gallows is something that is going to automatically kind of jar our minds. But it's all about Easter.
It's all about Easter. And so the great picture from Easter is that it is the one who die. A gallows calls to mind criminal, calls to mind cross, calls to mind death, suffering, dying. And he is coming from that death, suffering, and dying, resplendent, clothed in glory. When we remember that he was on the gallows tree, we remember that what Luther said, there he was the greatest sinner of them all. For there, all the sin, all the crime of all the world is rolled onto him, and he shoulders the whole load of it. And he is the one who is there on the cross, made to actually be sin for us. And yet, his vindication, his glory shows that God has accepted the sacrifice which his Son offered and vindicated him, glorified him. It means that everything he did, the Father has said an amen to.
I'll tell you what that triggered in my mind, and this is one reason I'll never forget this hymn, because there's an insight in here that I think I have missed my entire life, probably to my detriment. And that is, when Christ comes forth from the tomb on Easter morning alive, he's not just coming out of a tomb. He's coming from the cross.
From the cross, yeah.
The tomb is not a disconnect from the cross and the resurrection.
No.
This is one event, up to the cross, down to the grave, and out again after 3 days alive. The Christ comes resurrected from the cross.
Yes, one paschal event.
Okay, now if you look over your right shoulder, you see up there in the chancel of the of this church, Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freiburg, a cross with a Jesus who's coming off of it. This is called the Christus Victor, the picture of a living Christ coming forth off the cross. Is that the picture that this hymn is painting for us? We've got about a minute here.
Oh, absolutely. And you notice he's got his hands raised in blessing. You can see the hurt in his hands. You can see the scars, the mark of the nails. Just, you know, when we hear the talk of, you know, in his hurt hands, he brings life on life. That evokes Thomas, you know, and touch me and see. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. Just the same Jesus who was here before, but now glorified. And the marks are there to prove it. And they could touch them and see them. In his hurt hands is life on life for you and me. Wow. I mean, I just love that whole image.
With a minute here, I had someone write me recently and say, Jesus is resurrected from the dead after being crucified. And so he has come forth anew, never to die again. Why does he still have the scars? Why can we still refer to these as his hurt hands?
Rich wounds yet visible above and beauty glorified. The wounds are there forever as the testimony to the fact of what he did for us. They shine forever in glory. That this is how much God loved you, that he would go to this cross for you with the load of your sin and the world's sin on him. And that will never go from his body. It raises an interesting speculation. Do you keep the wounds in your life? Does God beautify the hurt and sorrows of your life? And do they remain beautiful marks on your body?
I've got a theory about that. We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. We're studying the hymn Joy to the Heart. It's an Easter hymn. Pastor Will Whedon, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, is our guest. You're invited to join this conversation at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And by the way, we do have a microphone here for anyone here at Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freiburg, Illinois, with questions or comments as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jeff, what were you just telling me there? You've been giving me wrong time cues this entire time. Thank you very much. All right, Pastor, before we move on here, and we're not going to the break, before we go to this break, let's look at the next stanza here.
Before we do that, we need to look at the chorus.
Okay, the chorus, please. Yes.
Yeah, well, let's look at the chorus. Joy, joy, joy to the heart. Yes, threefold joy, all in this good day's dawning. I can never forget the quote by Nietzsche. Remember, a child of a Lutheran parsonage who forsook the faith, who became, a real heathen philosopher in every sense of the word. I mean, an absolute heathen. But he made the telling observation once. He said, "You Christians lost the world when you lost your joy." I think that is a very profound observation on his part. If there was one thing in the early church that exploded through the people, it was the fact that Christians had a joy that no suffering, no death, nothing you did to them could shake this joy. And this joy was in Christ's Paschal, his Paschal victory. I wanted to read real briefly, if I could, a quote on this that I thought was just really powerful. The novel Christian reality is this: Christ's resurrection enables man genuinely to rejoice. All history until Christ has been a fruitless search for this joy. That is why the Christian liturgy, the Eucharist, is of its essence the feast of the resurrection. See who it's by?
Yes, I noticed that it's by Pope Benedict XVI, one time called Cardinal Ratzinger.
Cardinal Ratzinger, when it comes to the liturgical theology, the man is a great read. But I mean, his brilliant insight there that the liturgy itself is primarily a feast of resurrection joy. Every week, as you said at the beginning, every week it is a celebration of Christ's resurrection.
Stanza 2 of this hymn we're studying, Joy to the Heart. Good Jesus Christ inside his pain looked down Golgotha's stony slope and let the blood flow from his flesh to fill the springs of living hope. Joy, joy, joy to the heart, all in this good day's dawning. Joy, joy, joy to the heart, all in this good day's dawning. Stanza 2 of Joy to the Heart, this Easter hymn we're studying with Pastor Will Whedon, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Pastor, we've got only a minute here before our real break this time.
I promise. Get us started
on this stanza.
Actually, I don't want to. I want to go back to one more thought about the chorus. Can
okay,
I do
please,
that?
Yes.
It'll be probably fit the time perfectly. It says, all in this good day's dawning. We need to recognize that this hymn is introducing us into a day, and that day is the first and the eighth day, the day beyond all of the seven. You know, on one of the sevens you were born, on one of the sevens you're going to die. But into these 7 days of our earthly time, there came a day that had no evening. The beginning of the resurrection with Jesus Christ, his rising from the dead, it begins a day that never, ever ends. And when you're baptized in an eight-sided baptismal font, you're being put into the eighth day. The eighth day just places, the baptismal font places you right there into the eighth day, and therefore it puts you into Christ's own resurrection. So that it's a hymn you can sing not only just every Sunday, you're going to sing this hymn every day, because those who are united to Christ by baptism live in the eighth day.
When we come back from this break, we're going to turn our attention to the second stanza of Joy to the Heart, this Easter hymn. Feel free to join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. If you enjoy Pastor Will Whedon as a guest, be the best caller during this hour, the next 25 minutes, and we will send you our 10-part tape series that we did with Pastor Whedon on the historic liturgy. That goes to the best caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're broadcasting live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Sound Christian theology is supposed to be learned, believed, and lived. Sound Christian theology is also supposed to be prayed. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a resource for your daily devotion in God's Word, a way to daily pray the theology that you have learned, believed, and live. It's called The Lord Will Answer, a Daily Prayer Catechism. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. The Lord will answer, a daily prayer catechism, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Lord will answer, a daily prayer catechism.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Colorado's junior senator, Ken Salazar, has taken his attacks on Focus on the Family to a new and more strident level. The latest salvo from the freshman senator came during a telephone interview carried by television station KKTV in Colorado Springs. Terry Phillips reports.
The KKTV reporter introduced the comment with the words, Senator Salazar had this to say about Focus on the Family.
From my point of view, they are the anti-Christ of the world.
The senator singled out Focus founder Dr. James Dobson.
Jim Dobson is not our president and he's not our senator.
As if only those elite posts could qualify anyone to be involved in public policy debates. Tom Minery, Focus vice president of public policy.
Get a clue, Senator. This is about politics. It's about judicial nominees. It's about important national topics.
As to calling Focus on the Family the Antichrist, Minery says Salazar is using overheated rhetoric to divert the discussion from his campaign promise to support Senate floor votes for the president's judicial nominees.
He's doing anything he can to change the subject from what's at hand, and that is his unwillingness to allow mainstream federal judicial nominees to have a simple up or down vote.
Salazar has said he's breaking his word because now that he's a senator, he knows more than he did during the campaign.
What he knows is he'd better toe the line with the liberals in the, who are leading the Senate, or they're going to reject him.
Besides the anti-Christ indignity, Salazar has falsely charged Focus on the Family with staging a protest at a Dairy Queen owned by his wife. For Family News in Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
In the same phone interview, Salazar accused conservative groups of hijacking the American government. Constitutional scholars have long charged Senate Democrats with doing that. The charge comes only days after the senator accused Focus of hijacking Christianity. The senator's office did not return our calls for comment. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
A rapist and a murderer, touched by the power of God.
He said, you know something? You've been preaching to me all day, and I finally understand what you're talking about.
A violent heart at peace.
And then he stopped the car again, and he held his gun up in the air, and he said, I want you to open your purse up. And he unloaded all the bullets into my purse.
On the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
How's your prayer life coming along? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a daily prayer book titled, The Lord Will Answer. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this prayer resource on our website, issuesetc.org. The cost is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. The Lord Will Answer, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Again, stanza two of the hymn we're studying during this hour of Issues, Etc., broadcasting live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. The hymn, Joy to the Heart, our guest, Pastor Will Whedon. We invite you to come out. Pastor Whedon took a bite of one of the snickerdoodles over there on the table, and the ladies have laid out a very nice spread for us there.
There's stuff here.
So if it's not the program, at least let the snickerdoodle let them lure you over to 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois to join us in our live broadcast this afternoon. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. All right. We went to the second stanza and then back to the chorus again. Take us into the second stanza of this hymn, Joy to the Heart.
Well, the first thing that always grabs me there is the title Good. Good Jesus Christ. You can't help, you hear that title, you can't help but think about the time when the young man came to Jesus and said to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And remember, Jesus sort of flips that on him and says, good. Why do you call me good? None is good except God alone. And so when we hear the title, good, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ trying to coax that man to see whether or not he would recognize that in Jesus Christ himself, the good one has indeed come into the flesh. And that good is just not a, it's not a word that we should bandy around lightly. It carries with it the full weight of God. And if you want to see goodness, you'll never see it more clearly than when you look at the good one as he hangs upon the cross, doing the salvation of the world. You want to see goodness? What Good Friday is all about? There it is. Good Jesus Christ. And you mentioned before the tension with all of the bloody cross language in this hymn for Easter. But it just perfectly underlies the celebration, you know. Inside his pain, we think about what that pain was. Not just the physical, for sure. I mean, horrific. I mean, we have trouble even going there in our minds, how horrible it must have been. But also the pain of his being separated from his Father as he did experience the weight of sin being rolled onto him and then being left all alone with the sin, knowing that that's what sin at its root is this loneliness, this separation from God. And inside of that pain, he wills himself into it. All the way, precisely so that he could do what the stanza says, so that looking down Golgotha's stony slopes, he can open up his veins to pour forth his blood.
See, this is something that, again, I think is often missed. We talk so much after Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, came out, reminding people who watched that great film that they were not watching Jesus' life being taken from him. But according to his own words in the Gospel of John, no one takes my life from me. Right. When you watch me lay it down, I am laying it down of my own accord, and I lay it down that I might take it up again. And this is the very thing I have been commanded to do by my Father. And the words here of this hymn capture that beautifully. It's not that there's no victim here.
No, no.
In this sense, he is letting the blood flow from his flesh.
Right. The willingness of the offering is really clear. And there's no way you could listen to this hymn and feel sorry for Jesus. It's not about feeling sorry. You could be moved at the incredible compassion he showed for us in doing this. But it is very clear that he is in control from start to finish as he performs this self-immolation, this offering of himself on Calvary's tree. Incredible. And blood, you know, there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And so that's what he is. He is letting this blood flow down onto this cursed earth to wipe out the curse for good, to create a brand new creation right here with the giving of his own lifeblood. I think about some of the scripture passages that talk about what the blood of Jesus does. Think about 1 John and especially these words. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice that that's a present tense. It doesn't say it cleansed us. The blood of Jesus cleanses. And for it to be cleansing present tense, it's got to be around somewhere where it can do some touching and washing, you know? So that we rejoice as we're singing this hymn, knowing in great anticipation that the blood that dripped down there on the cross is the very same blood that's going to be in that chalice, on that altar, and poured down our throats to give us the gift of life, washing away sin, giving us a share in God's own goodness. Wow, what a gift.
Before you move on beyond that, when I heard this stanza, I could not help but think One of our listeners very kindly sent me some bookmarks recently, and they had reproduced on them some art from the Reformation era. And one of them, it was very small and difficult to see, but it was a painting by Lucas Cranach, a famous painting of the crucifixion, where they liked to do this back in these days. At the foot of the cross, instead of having the disciples and Mary, they put Luther and Melanchthon and maybe a couple other Reformation figures, and Cranach himself, who is standing there. And from Christ's side, where he hangs dead, from his pierced side, there's a stream of blood flowing out, and it's literally landing on Cranach's head, right there on his forehead there. And this is not an uncommon image in this art. What were they trying to say? First of all, by putting themselves in that picture, but then by showing the blood actually pouring out on them.
Yeah. The way you just described that doesn't also remind you of the scene from The Passion, where Mary and Longinus, you know, they get into the blood as it's gushing out, the water and the blood. And you realize you're not going, oh, gross, what's that? You're going, move out of the way, I want to get in there too. And that's what Cranach's doing in the painting. You know, he is making room for himself there that the blood of Christ might touch him and cleanse him. And he knows, Cranach knows, that that blood is not imaginary, it's not locked up in heaven, that blood actually does touch and cleanse him quite literally in baptism and in the sacrament of the altar.
We're looking at the hymn, Joy to the Heart. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're broadcasting live from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. Feel free to join us. We've got about an hour and 15 minutes left in this broadcast today. We're at 612 North State Street here in Freeburg. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Wheaton, I know that you will appreciate what I'm holding in my hand here. I just want to take a moment from our study before we go on to stanza 3 in the entire hymn. This is called The Lord Will Answer, a Daily Prayer Catechism. Talk just for a moment about the value of a resource like this. That is, a book that can direct someone's daily devotions according to the basic teachings of the Christian faith. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Scripture's teaching on baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper.
Well, first, I mean, I just got to say, if your listeners haven't bought that book yet, they got to buy that book. I mean, that is a must-have book for any Lutheran family and, frankly, for any Christian family. I absolutely love the way that this is set up. Number one, this is not... It goes through the catechism throughout the whole year. That's beautiful. Every day you get a little piece of the catechism and something to think about that reinforces the faith. But the thing that I have really appreciated about this book is the way the editor has pulled together incredible prayers and resources from across the centuries and dumped them into this. I mean, so that as you're looking at one, you know, what's the catechism thought for the day? I'm trying to remember what the one was a couple of weeks ago. We were in the second article, and all of a sudden there at the bottom of the page, you know, talking about the offering of Christ on the cross, there was the apostolic tradition of St. Hippolytus, you know, the great Eucharistic prayer. It's like, I can't believe this is in this book. What a treasure. Because it's something that too many times, it's something pastors have locked up in their study. And this is offered. I mean, here the laity can be fed on this richness. So this catechism book does not merely provide you with stuff from the Reformation era. He has ransacked the devotional treasury of Christ's church from the beginning, and it's full of riches like that.
Now, you can do it one of two ways, folks. You can do it the hard way, which is the way the Pastor Will Wheaton does it. He gets all the original sources in his office, he opens it up, and he has to find chapter and verse. Or you can buy our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, and the month is waning quickly. It's called The Lord Will Answer, a Daily Prayer Catechism, and these resources are brought to you in a way that they are actually used in your daily devotions, day by day, 365 days a year. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Go to our website for more information, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll find information on this book, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April. The Lord Will Answer, a Daily Prayer Catechism. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or our website, issuesetc.org. Stanza 3 of the hymn we're studying, Joy to the Heart. Good Jesus Christ, our brother, died in darkness, hurt upon the tree, to offer us the worlds of light that live inside the Trinity. Joy, joy, joy to the heart. and all in this good day's dawning. Joy, joy, joy to the heart, and all in this good day's dawning. The fanfare again. We will hear that fanfare in the repeat of the first stanza when we hear the entire hymn at the end of our conversation, Pastor Whedon. But take us through this third stanza. This hymn, this Easter hymn, cannot get away from the cross.
No, it can't. The cross is, just like you said at the beginning, interwoven as a single event with the resurrection. And I have to confess, of all the stanzas, this one is my favorite stanza, because it nails home something that I think we miss out on way too much. And that is, Lutheranism has a tendency to focus on what we are saved from. We know what we're saved from. We're saved from sin. We're saved from death. We're saved from Satan. We're saved from the power of the law. All these things we're saved from. And that's good. And that's vital. But you can't stop there. You stop there, you're gutting the Christian faith. Because the Christian faith is also what you're saved for. And what you're saved for, here's where I really believe, people get sanctification so screwed up, it's unbelievable. You know, sanctification, I think, is God's done my part, or his part, now it's my job to do my part, my works, whatever. That's not sanctification. Sanctification is being united with, through Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, to God the Father. This is sanctification. You are made for union with Christ, union with God. You were made for being a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are made for enjoying God's own eternal life. And so this stanza nails it. What does Jesus Christ do? In darkest hurt, he dies upon the cross, upon the tree. Why? To offer us the worlds of light that live inside the Trinity, so that God's life becomes our life, his joy becomes our joy, his peace becomes our peace, so that we can actually have him within us and find our life entirely in him.
Okay, now you said it both ways there just now, because we are accustomed to thinking as Christians of God living in us, but this hymn says that's not entirely it. It is also about us living, and it says, inside the Trinity.
Yeah.
What is it talking about? I mean, this is language that we are unaccustomed to hearing.
Well, I like to distinguish, tell me whether or not I'm off base on this. When I think about baptism, I think of baptism as that which puts me into Christ. And I think of the Holy Eucharist as that which puts Christ into me. So, if you have baptism in the Eucharist, you have God being all and in all, you finding your life in him, and him placing his life inside of you.
The term there is interpenetration.
Interpenetration, perichoristis. Remember, mm-hmm. We had that in our systems too, right? Mm-hmm. The interpenetration, as the persons of the Trinity interpenetrate one another, so the Trinity would interpenetrate us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would live inside of us, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would have us to live inside of each person, which is accomplished through the Spirit in Christ.
Do we have to wait? We've only got 30 seconds before we have to start this entire hymn. Do we have to wait for that life, those worlds of light that live inside the Trinity?
No way. The church is the gift of that reality right now, right here. You do not have to wait.
Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We're studying this Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart. We've heard the three stanzas. There's a fourth, which is a repeat of that first stanza with its fanfare. Let's hear the entire hymn now as we round off our conversation. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds like Easter to me.
That is the voice of Easter.
It sounds like resurrection, and it sounds like eternal life to me. Your final thoughts on this great Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart, Pastor Wheaton?
There are very few pieces that I think when we sing them, they could actually give us the experience of joy that we actually... You feel like you're there at the resurrection. It's at that day. The joy, it does not end.
I thought to myself, we were working through this, and we have to do this in pre-production for the program, so I listened to this hymn a lot of times in doing the production for the sound. And I thought to myself, when it was all said and done, and I wasn't sick of it, and believe me, I get sick of things really fast, very short attention span. I thought, if we're not singing this on the last day, I don't know what we're going to be singing.
That's right. That's right. I mean, this is it. This is the hymn of joy.
Isn't that really where this hymn leaves the Christian, even in this life, with those first words and the last words in those stanzas? There at the in the throne room of God with the Lamb, look, there our Christ, our brother.
Yeah. It doesn't leave. I mean, the cross is present, but it's not present apart from the resurrection. And so you are there in the throne room of God, and the very Lamb of God is there. And that's where all the focus of the intention of the entire universe is directed, towards the throne of God and the Lamb.
You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that our message is Christ crucified, and that this isn't a static word, crucified, or a past tense word, but this is an ongoing thing. And Paul says, we are always carrying around in our bodies the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in our bodies. Is that what this hymn is really about? About Christ being the one who is ever crucified for us?
Yeah, because, you know, as Paul said, by Christ I've been crucified to the world, and I live to God. And this is what this hymn is celebrating, that we have been given a life which is beyond death, a life that no death, no sorrow, no suffering, no nothing you're going through in this world can take away the joy of that life from you. The life of the risen Christ.
The season of Easter has very quickly come to a close. Is Easter as a season ever over?
No, that's one of the most beautiful insights that sort of came back with the Second Vatican Council and spread from Rome to the other churches, the remembrance that every Sunday is at its root a celebration of the resurrection of Christ, every Sunday.
Pastor Will Wheaton is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. Glad being with you.
Isn't that precisely what John tells us when he sees in a vision what we will see with our eyes on the last day, gathered in the throne room of God around the Lamb with the 24 elders? He sees this Lamb who stands as one who was slain. It is Christ our brother, resplendent from the gallows tree, who brings in his hurt hands life on life for you and me. Those are the words of that hymn. Good words to live by the rest of our lives. When we come back from this break, our roundtable on the gospel, we will be joined here at Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois, by Pastor Bruce Kaysman, the pastor of this church, Pastor Fred Bowie, Pastor Stuart Rethwisch, and Pastor Brian Hawley, as we talk about the gospel next on Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.